following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Turn 10 of A Worthy Opponent, a Hearthstone podcast from Blizzard. Well, we're not Blizzard, but Hearthstone is Blizzard. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday. We're right in the middle of Christmas and New Year's here. I am Black Lace.
I'm Autumn's Bean.
And we hope everybody is having a great holiday. What was your holiday, Autumn's Bean? What did you get out of your lovely little packages?
Oh, I got some cards, and I didn't get very good cards, but I got a whole lot of dust.
Enough to make a legendary?
I did. I made a Malagos out of my legendary. Out of my dust.
I am thinking that one might be the way to go, myself. Malagos. I was going to do the pirate card. I just don't think that the pirate deck, although fun, it's not going to stack up to anything yet. I think it's just a silly deck, kind of like Murlocs. Murlocs are silly.
I don't find that their abilities are too great.
So if I'm going to spend that much dust to create a card, I want to create a decent card.
Yeah, I also got Megatork.
What does that do?
No, Megatork.
No, everybody got Megatork.
Yeah, Megatork is
bought
the,
something from the store.
Is that one. I got another goblin. Not goblin, gnome. Gnome's goblin, same thing. I got Tinkmaster Overspark, which is just terrible. Terrible card. Battlecry, transform a minion into a 5/5 Devilsaur or a 1/1 Squirrel at random.
Oh,
so
no.
You know how my luck.
Yes, you will turn your opponent's 1/1 sheep into a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, and I'll end up turning my own, 4/5 with taunt into a squirrel. That's just the way my luck runs.
I did okay. I really think that if you buy with Blizzard Store, 40 packs cost $49.99, and if you buy the 40 packs, I think really the odds are one legendary per 40 packs, maybe two if you're lucky. I tend to be lucky.
It used to be two. Because both times in the past when I bought 40 cards, they were gifts. So I'd go and get the cards, and it was two legendary, so like one in 20 packs. And that rate seems to have dropped because I got one in 40 packs now.
Yeah, I was going to say that I thought the quote-unquote drop rate for new cards, for better cards, has gone down. But then I opened a pack that I spent my 100 gold on, and I got two rares, an epic, and a legendary in one pack. That was pretty amazing, and that was from a pack just from my normal daily quests. That's where I got my Grommash Hellscream, he's pretty heavy duty. I haven't played him yet.
You have to play a warrior.
Yeah, he's warrior. It's 8 mana to call out. I don't play a warrior. That's one of the main reasons I don't use him. He's got charge and he's got enrage. If he's enraged, it's a +6 attack. Enraged means if he's taken any damage. He's basically a 4/9. He's let's see, damage of 4 and health of 9. Yeah, he's pretty powerful. Haven't used him.
He synergizes very well in the warrior deck because you've got all these cards that, they damage him.
Your own cards that damage him?
Yeah, you've got cards that damage a player, a minion, though you could damage someone else's minion but to kill it, or you could damage your own to buff it, and it'll be damage this and also give it +2 attack. So and I forget the name of the card, but it's a 0 casting cost that does that. So I do 1 point of damage to Grommash. He's got 9 health, no big deal. Grommash Hellscream. So he's now down to 8, but suddenly
which is still substantial.
So he was at what, 4 attack? So he gets
so now he's
the plus
10.
2 from that spell. That's 6. Plus he's got the enrage. That's another 6. So from a 0 casting cost spell, I just made him a 12.
A 12, 8.
With
yeah, that's
charge.
That's pretty ouch. That's
yep.
definitely pretty ouch.
So by the time you have enough mana to actually cast him, you can win the game with that card in one turn.
As long as nobody has a taunt.
Well, it's, you know, conceivably.
Right.
What I'd like to see someday, maybe in a future expansion, is a trample ability. Remember in Magic the Gathering?
Oh,
if you
yeah.
block, if you blocked with a creature, the attacking creature had trample, it would do the excess damage, you know, subtract
around it. Yes.
Yeah. So if it blocked with a 5 defense character, that 5 is gone, and then that 7 gets through.
That's an interesting idea. I wonder if they're considering that. I forgot all about trample.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
I did very
call
well.
It something different.
Great. Well, I think they have to. I did very well during my opening of my 40 packs from Santa. I got Tyrion, and I got
good card.
I think my favorite card. I mean, I love my Ragnaros, but Hogger. Oh my God, what a fun card to play. Hogger, I have to say, if you've got Hogger and you can cast it, it's pretty well game's over when you cast it. It's 6 casting cost, 4/4 card. It creates a 2/2 taunt creature at the end of the turn, so your opponent can't hit Hogger right away. They've got to go for the taunt creature first. I mean, really, it could be a game changer. And especially, you know, I, of course, doubled them up with Ragnaros. Bad old me, put 2 legendaries in one deck, but ouch.
It depends on who you're playing against. If you're playing against somebody that uses a weapon, then the taunts get in the way. And I had trouble with my warrior deck that I just could not muster enough damage to be able to attack the one with taunt and then take care of Hogger as well. Whereas if you're playing a caster, a mage, or a priest, or a warlock, you can take out the Hogger in other ways, because casters tend not to be as enslaved to the taunt mechanism as the melee type characters.
Right. And again, everybody should take account when you're casting something, before you put Hogger on the board, make sure your opponent doesn't have creatures out there that can knock him out in a round. If they've already got heavy duty creatures out there, you don't want to cast him until you clear the board and then cast him, because you want to make sure he survives. If he can't survive, it's just the extra popping out, the extra taunt peons doesn't do it. So I actually tally up how much damage can they do to Hogger this turn before I even cast him. And I save him up and I clear the board with, I don't know, some sort of freezing spell from time or another.
Yeah, that's an important thing that I've learned over the past several weeks is, you know, when you're a new player, your instinct is, oh, I have mana, let me play this minion, and then the minion gets killed. Well,
yeah.
I have some more mana, and I have another minion, let me play that, and your minion gets killed. So now, I will go several turns without casting a minion sometimes, depending on the deck, especially if it's a warrior where I could armor up with the mana instead, or a hunter where I could pop out the arrow damage instead, or the paladin. You know, just create little 1/1s with the mana.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, my creatures aren't going to get picked off one at a time. But if you cast 3 minions at a time, like you tend to do with a rogue deck, because you don't want to waste your combos, then it's a little harder, unless they have a board clearing spell like Flame Strike or, you know, stuff
yep.
like that.
Patience is a very important thing. I can't really stress it more. If you're not ready to cast that card, really look at what your opponent's laying down. Take a few seconds, tally up things. Don't be in a rush just because you have the mana to cast the card. Build it up. Wait a little while, because it can turn the whole game around if you just watch your timing. And that's kind of a segue onto something I wanted to talk about, which is how to handle a priest.
Oh, you didn't want to talk about your new ranking?
Well, but I want to talk about how to handle a priest. What is it that we've been talking about for weeks that we hate?
Well, wait
priests?
A second. What? We got away from priests in the last turn.
Right.
And now you're bringing them back again.
But we're supposed to be telling people, giving people suggestions on how to play, right?
I know what it is. I finally shut up about priests, and now it's your turn. Is that
no.
it?
No. No, I want to give our listeners little ideas. Because sometimes you can do something that is so second nature to you that actually could be helpful to other people. So I want to be helpful.
Okay, let's be helpful.
Okay. How to handle a priest. As everybody knows from our many weeks of ranting about mind control, which
first
is
you
now
give him a little boy. Oh, wait a second. Never mind. Go on.
Bottom's plane. Just get the zipper. Okay. Mind control. 10 mana. Takes your creature away. So you've got your lovely creature out. You may wait a little while. Be afraid to play it because he may get that 10 quickly. I have started actually playing my Ragnaros when I'm able to at 8 mana because I know I have 2 turns before he can mind control him. But I do something else. And anybody who's got a powerful card that they're afraid the priest is going to turn around and mind control and steal your card from you, consider hanging on to other cards and stacking your deck with a couple of extra cards just for that possibility. Because the priests still do it. Rogues, if you've got an assassinate, put it in your deck. It's a 5 mana card. It allows you to basically ping. Hey, yes, he's now stolen your Ragnaros, but with a 5 mana cost card, after he steals it, you can then destroy it on the next turn.
If Ragnaros didn't kill you first.
Well, yes. I'm just telling, not even Ragnaros, any card that not necessarily Ragnaros, any card that the priest steals from you that you have as your main card in your deck that you may have built a deck around, and the priest grabs it, the ways around getting it back or killing it off quickly, you want to keep extra cards in your hand. The rogue with the 5 assassinate, the mage, keep a polymorph. Don't be tempted to polymorph other creatures. If you're planning on playing a big hitter and you know the priest may steal it, keep the polymorph for just that event. The druid has naturalize. Naturalize is a nice little card. It's 1 mana cost. The only problem with it, it does destroy that card, but it also gives your opponent the ability to draw 2 cards. Hunters have deadly shot. It's a 3 mana cost, and basically, boom, it's dead. And
no.
The warlocks... Hmm?
Deadly shot.
Deadly
shot. Random. Does a random.
Ooh, I have to look at that more carefully.
You only have a chance.
You only may get it. I'm going to have to look at that again. Warlock Siphon Soul. Not only does it kill that card for you, but it restores 3 health as well. That's a 6 mana cost card. So that's something you may want to consider if you're, if your creature gets stolen, having a backup to possibly turn that around so it's not so painful when it happens. Kind of that,
yeah.
Aha!
Yeah, and, you know, you've got the control methods, too. Polymorph, Hex, Freeze, Silence.
Yeah, and I apologize. It is destroy a random enemy minion for 3 mana, and, of course, I never question the hunter.
Well, you know, they're not going to give a hunter a card that kills something that easily with 3 mana.
Right.
Not without it being random.
Right. I mean, and they're scattered. The druid's 1 cost, the polymorph is a 4 cost for the mage, the rogue is a 5 cost, the warlock is a 6 cost. So they all have the pluses and minuses to do it, but they are ways around it when your creature gets stolen by the priest. So, something to consider. So? Arena?
You were in the arena.
I was in the arena. I wasn't very satisfied. I told everybody I would play arena. I'd rather spend my 100 gold on a deck than save my 150 gold and play arena. I am going back to that. Because I think you had a case where you didn't do too well. I mean, not talking about the games, but actually in what you won, right?
Say that again?
when you won your arena, the last arena.
Okay, it was a long
played,
time ago, but go ahead.
Didn't you only get a deck and, like, some dust?
Yeah, when it was just down to the two boxes, unlike the five boxes they used to
do.
Right,
that's what I'm talking about. That change is...
I got a pack, not a deck, a pack, you know, an expert pack of five cards, and I got gold. Yeah, 40 gold.
So you lost 10.
So yeah, it was a net loss of 10.
Yeah, so...
But had I won, I probably would have gotten significantly more loot.
But, right, but it's
that's,
risky.
That's the whole thing about Arena, is you're supposed to win it.
Right.
It's not really for losers like me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I won one game, I lost three. Not in that order, but you know, Arena's tough. You got to try to figure out, and you got to get lucky with the cards. You have to be lucky to know the you know, mechanics of what your hero is. I did okay. Of course, you know, I had a lockup in the middle, which kind of screwed things up a little bit. But what I wanted to say was, I wasn't thrilled about my rewards. I got one card and a pack, and the card was Inner Rage, which is basically one damage to a minion and plus two attack. So I got Inner Rage, which I will never use, and a pack of cards for 150 gold. So to me, that just wasn't worth it. And Inner Rage disenchants to, what, five dust? So, yeah, I would rather just put my 100 gold into my pack and use that 50 for saving for my next 100 gold.
The people who play Arena, who play it a lot and have mastered it, they win a lot. And I have to imagine if you've won 8, 9, 12 games in one Arena match, that your rewards are significant.
I'd love to see the statistics on Arena matches. How many people actually win multiple games?
Well, probably the legendary players, the people who are up around rank 5 or better. Those people,
because you
who
think
are,
there's this, there really is a science to the cards as they come out, and which ones are likely to come out again and such like that.
What makes somebody expert at chess versus people who, as a friend of mine used to say, people who just move pieces around the board. There's more to this game than just throwing down cards, and it's a synergy of your deck building skills and predicting what the other person's going to do, like in any other card game, knowing what deck you're playing against, okay, knowing the defenses and the attacks of all the other heroes. I've learned quite a bit through playing and losing. Losing is a great tutor. How to not make the same mistakes over and over again, not against other players, but against players playing other heroes. I now know what a mage is capable of and do what I can to avoid that. I now know what a priest can do and do what I can do to avoid that, other than hitting concede immediately.
As soon as you see a priest. Now we're not going there again.
No, and some games, you know, I gotta make sure that I'm grateful I went to the bathroom first, because the game's gonna take an hour. And others, I know that in a blink of an eye, I can be off and get a snack. I've got decks these days that a lot of my games, that they last 7-8 turns, and either I've won or they've won. And then I played Paladin against a Paladin the other day. It must have taken 45 minutes.
Ouch, that's a long game.
Yeah, because you get the slow control decks against another slow control deck, and it takes forever. You take an aggro deck, you know, Warrior against Hunter, that game's not going to last.
All right. Well, true enough. How have you been doing in your actual regular play?
Well, I've been up and down, and playing now is sort of like, it reminds me of the SATs. Do you remember the SATs?
Oh God, yes.
Now, the SAT is a test like no other test probably anyone's ever taken. You got points for getting an answer right, and you lost points for getting an answer wrong, and you're kind of kept at a neutral position if you did nothing. You didn't answer the question, and that was that, right? So now I have to learn when to play casual and when to play ranked. And it's pretty frustrating when I get a deck working well and I've won two or three games in casual. I say, okay, this is working. Let me go into ranked. And then bam, 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 I'm down.
Well, you heard my theory on that, on the winning and losing.
That once you start losing, you have to quit.
You should quit, yes. I did very well in ranked this week. I actually got to rank 15. I don't play as much as Autumn's Bane. I have to admit it. I really don't. I have just so many other things going on right now that I haven't been playing Hearthstone that much. I did get 5 wins in a row, and then I got a loss and then a second loss, and I said, nope, there goes my theory right there. As soon as I start losing, I'm going to keep... Oh, my mage, of course. And I will let you know, I do not have a Pyroblast card. Just, you know, for all those people who say, oh, mages, Pyroblast to the face, it's all over. I do not have a Pyroblast in my deck. I don't even have the card. I do pretty well with her. But I got to rank 15. I got to... 3-star 15, and then I took 2 losses, so I quit while I was ahead because I didn't want to go back to rank 16.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. I was playing around different classes, and maybe that's part of my problem. I can't seem to find one class to play long enough before I go play something else. But one of our listeners wrote to us, and later, I think you're going to read his letter, but...
Well, I could read it now.
He wrote to us back and forth, and one of the things he did was he sent me a Hunter deck he had come across. So, I said, let me give this thing a try, and 2 of the cards he suggested I use, and they were probably pretty vital to the deck working. One was the Black Knight to deal with taunt creatures, and I didn't have one. And the deck was based on speed and evasion. So there were a lot of charge cards, and there were a lot of stealth cards, and there were things like fairy dragons, which really couldn't be touched by most targeted abilities. And I played a few casual games, and I won. And I says, all right, this thing's working pretty good. The substitutes I made, there was a card that we said when we discovered it together that we would never use, either of us, because it seemed like it was giving the opponent too much. Well, I decided I was going to try that card.
What card was it? Do you remember?
And that card was the Arcane Golem, which for 3 mana gives me 4/2 with charge, but it gives my opponent a mana crystal. It just seemed to me that that was too much. But there was one game on turn 6. I played 2 of these guys and 8 points to the face, and the cards actually work out better than you would think. And I was a little wary about playing it against a priest because I thought it would drive the mind control up faster. And I don't remember if I don't remember if I faced a priest with it.
Now, is that from the deck that Reap suggested?
Yeah, he suggested it, but as I said, I didn't have 2 of the cards. So the 2 cards that I did not have, I replaced with 2 Arcane Golems. So then I played ranked, and I lost a rank. And I'm like, ugh, let's go back to the drawing board. And I think I switched over to my Warrior to do some dailies. But the next day I said, you know what? I'm not going to give up. I enjoy playing the Hunter too much. So I went in, played ranked, and I won. And I won, and I won again, and boom, 2 stars, because if you win like 3 games in a row, you get 2 stars. So I went from rank 19 through 16 using this deck, and I was on a roll, and I was on the cusp of 15. I was 1 win away from getting a 15.
Not the edge of 17.
Not the edge of 17, but the edge of 15, and I just hit this losing streak. So I switched to my Warrior, and I lost. And I switched to my Rogue, and I lost. And I switched to my Mage, and I lost. And then I took your advice, and I just quit for the day. But this week, I've had a losing streak. So from being almost rank 15, I'm down to 17 again. And actually, I think I went all the way down to 18 or 19, and then back up to 17 again. It's amazing how you can jump ranks. But as you discovered when you hit 15, that's a new threshold.
Yep, there's 4 stars.
4 stars now.
Yeah,
so
yep.
The advantage of 4 stars
it's
is...
It's a blood elf, so I'll stay there for a little while. Because
okay.
He's cute.
But the advantage to 4 stars is you could take more losses before being downranked again. Of course, a couple more days and we all reset anyway.
That's true. That's true. Back to 25. Speaking of the new year, I wanted to let people know on January 2nd, there is going to be a short period of time that they're going to be doing. I'm not sure if it's a patch or maintenance, what's going on. But Thursday, January 2nd, at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, PST, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., short period, 1 hour. They're planning on doing maintenance that day. So if you log in and you find it down, that is why. One other thing, since you mentioned our lovely email, I want to thank our listeners. We have gotten emails. We have gotten iTunes reviews that they're always appreciated. I want to read this email. It just
And tweets.
Lots of tweets. My phone is tweeting, and I'm glad I work at a veterinary office because my phone tweets just as much as any of the animals there. Okay. From our listener, we got an email. Hello. I just listened to your 12/23/13 show and felt compelled to contact you. I currently listen to 3 Hearthstone podcasts, yours included. I just wanted to take the time to thank you both for the time and effort you put in every week. I also wanted to thank you for being nice people, a trait that is severely lacking in the gaming community. Your comments about telling players to be nice to each other made me realize that you guys are now my favorite podcast. You guys have a very Merry Christmas, and my Hearthstone name is Reap, if you ever want to play. I have him now as a friend. I got his battle tag. I haven't run into him in game. I'm looking forward to playing him. Reap, thank you very much. That is one of the nicest emails we could ever get. Much appreciated. And, you know, our comments are always from the heart. When we're telling people be nice, it's because, well, people should be nice. Darn it.
Yep. Thank you very much, Reap. And also thank you for the deck suggestion. I had written Reap back and said that I was having some trouble with the losing. I didn't write him back to tell him that I started winning with it again before I hit my big losing streak. And a lot of people are saying that they're having trouble getting hunters to the upper echelons of the ranking system. And there was some explanation from Blizzard on the forum saying we need to tweak things a little at a time. We can't be making massive changes. A lot of people were complaining that the mages were overpowered even after the nerfs. But you have to kind of let the nerfs take their toll and see how they go. You can't just throw down a million nerfs all at once, but then you end up having hero classes like the hunter. And these are not my words. I love my hunter, and I have mentioned my ire with the way they've been treated, but it's become almost a catchphrase from some people on the forums when they talk about, you know, how they win with all kinds of decks, and people will quip back like, yeah, how you doing with that hunter deck?
That's sad. That's really sad.
Or if they think, you know, people want to nerf the mage, they were talking about Pyroblast in general. There was a multi-page forum thread on the Pyroblast and whether or not it should be nerfed. And some people said, well, nerfing some of the other spells makes it so that Pyroblast used in conjunction won't be as bad. And, you know, they're arguing back and forth. People saying, yeah, what do you want us to do? End up the way of the hunter? So it's become like, what's that term they use at work? The redheaded stepchild of the hero classes. But, you know, I'm not bitter about it because there are other ways to learn to play the decks. And that's one thing a nerf will do. You know, if you want to be an optimist, learn to play it a different way.
And that's what they've said they do. They said specifically, we read something last week that they were saying that the nerfs are meant to build up other cards so that you could do different combinations instead.
Yeah, my problem is that if you mess with the core cards too much, you change what the class is intrinsically to begin with. So hunters are supposed to be beast-centric, or at least that's sort of the way they were designed. The hunter-only cards are beasts, or cards that affect beasts, and now most of the hunter decks I'm seeing have just a smattering of beasts, but a whole lot of other cards that aren't beasts. Each class has a legendary card that's supposed to be a big asset to the deck. Vellum is a great asset to the priest deck, and Malagos is a great asset to the mage deck, but King Crush, which I had been really jonesing to get a copy of and was even going to spend my dust on, he's a 9 casting cost in the current metagame. I would never get him in play because I never have 9 mana anymore.
You don't get to
9
rounds.
I have not seen 9 mana on a hunter deck in ages. Either I'm dead or my opponent's dead in 6, 7, or 8 turns.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. Maybe, you know, they're going to... Blizzard looks and watches this stuff, and I think they're going to have to do something to fix what they broke. Give hunters new cards or something, I'm not sure. And again, reminder, beta, still beta. Things are being fixed, so hopefully they'll realize that they really did hurt the hunters, that people are just kind of mocking them now.
Yeah, well, it's incentive until that point to keep tinkering with it and try to find other ways to win. Like I said, I gained several ranking points playing it. I don't think at that tier of play that it's going to compete against the players who are at that level of play, if you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
If I make it to rank 15 with it and I'm playing people who are level 15 quality with decks like mages and priests... And there are some good warrior decks out there, too. I've seen some good rogue decks. If it can't compete at that level and it's just going to keep downranking me, then I will try something else. I still haven't managed to figure out how to properly play a druid or a shaman, so I may invest some time in that. But, you know, it's just got to play around with the variety.
Yeah, I got to admit, I'm not a fun... I don't have a fondness for the paladins, but when I got Tyrion, that was all the incentive I needed to actually try a paladin deck. Not half bad. I did a little research on the web to get a good idea of how to play it. Kind of tweaked a few decks because I don't have a lot of cards yet. I'm still lacking in some of the basic cards. Not basic like soulbound cards, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Basic for the hero.
Yeah, basic for the hero. And I haven't done badly with him. He's won a couple. He's done he's done very well by me, but I really enjoy playing my little fiery girl.
Yeah, your fiery girl? Meaning your frost mage?
Well, no, she does a lot of fire too. They do both.
But they're all about the frost.
Well, the freezes. I mean, you can't help it. I mean,
It is Jaina Proudmoore.
It is.
You know, Azeroth's most famous frost mage.
And the forums were abuzz with the mages recently.
Yep. They're just, you know, it's the flavor of the week to be picked on. I think they got tired of complaining about priests.
Moved on to the mage.
It seems to be a trending subject matter in the forums. First of all, the forums, you know, Reap said... You know, he appreciates that we're nice, and it's something that's sorely lacking. The forums are cesspools. They're brutal. If you go in there and you have an idea that's not very good, or you're new, or you're naive, they crucify you. It's horrible.
They do.
Even the trolls, who often deserve the treatment, don't necessarily deserve the treatment that they're getting from these players. I don't know if the people doing this are just snobs, but some of the things they say, they go against the code of conduct. So I don't really know if Blizzard is monitoring the forums to make sure people are behaving.
Not as much as they used to. Not as much as they used to. I think Ghostcrawler used to rein people in a lot, and he's no longer part of this, so I don't know if he wasn't part of Hearthstone anyway, so maybe Blizzard needs a Hearthstone serious moderator for niceness.
Well,
here we go again.
At least in the Hearthstone forums, people are less anonymous than they are in the Warcraft forums. Because in the Warcraft forums, you can go and change the character, you know, pick up some first level character that nobody knows, and then go troll somebody, and
that's true.
Nobody knows who you are. In Hearthstone, they're using your account name. So I'm very careful what I say on the forums, because everybody knows my name, you know, who sees me. They play against me, they know me. And it's kind of nice, though. Sometimes I'll see people in the forums that say constructive things or good things, and I'll think, oh, I played that guy. He kicked my butt. That's why. Look how intelligent he is. So,
there's more of a chance of running into somebody.
Nice to recognize people.
Yeah, it's more of a chance to recognize someone from the forums and actually be playing against them and say, I recognize that name, than there is when you're in the World of Warcraft. You never run into, or you don't really know you run into those people. Unless you're like in Goldshire, but anyway. But
I still have been encountering, for every nasty player I encounter, I find another player who's really nice. And the other day somebody greeted me, and when I greeted him back, he said, thank you. And I'm thinking, gee, I wonder if people haven't been greeting this guy back. Because the turn before that, you know, I went, greetings, and he's like, I will destroy you. I'm like, okay, that's how you want to greet me, that's fine.
Yeah, I had the one that every time I cast something, he would say thank you, so he met my squelch button.
Yep, but the emotes are also really bugging people. Somebody put it well, you're probably insecure if you think every emote that is headed at you is meant in a completely negative way.
Right.
People get mad when you say thank you. People get mad when you say good game when you lost. Not good game, well played. Like,
well,
I'm,
you know,
sorry.
What?
I play
thank
a game,
person at the end of the game, if they've played a good game, and even if they've smacked me into the dirt, even if I'm going to concede because I know that they've just bested me and that's all there is to it, I'll say thank you and then I'll concede. That's just how I am. But you're right. Somebody may take that as negative, as, you know, me being sarcastic with the thank you, and actually I'm just thanking them because they did a great job. So the emotes are lacking just a little bit, but I don't know how to fix it, really. I'd love an emote to say, hey, I know you, you know, something like that.
Well, I think the community is split on whether or not there should be emotes. There's a lot of people who would like emotes but be able to turn them off. There's a lot of people who are adamant, no, I do not emotes. A chat is what I meant to say. And people are like, no, I do not want to be speaking to the trolls on the other side of that screen.
Exactly.
And other people are like, well, I want to build community. And it sort of makes me realize the difference between my frustration when I have a losing streak and then I turn off the computer versus when I lost at Magic the Gathering, or any other card game for that matter. I sit around with a bunch of friends, maybe there's 8 of us in the room, and we're taking turns playing each other. Even when we lost, you know, we're bantering, we're talking about, you know, the social stuff that it's involved in our lives or our kids or whatever, and you're playing cards and you laugh, and you know, if you kill your opponent's characters, you know, you could laugh maniacally in a good-hearted way, and you get to enjoy each other's company and have fun. And even when you get your ass kicked, it's a fun experience. It's really hard to take that with good spirits in a computer game, when the only thing you're getting is the same standard emote over and over again.
Well, it's the same thing as emails. I mean, people can misconstrue so easily because there's no inflection. There's no inflection. You don't know whether it's a sarcastic, snide remark or if it's a sincere remark because you can't hear it.
But there's no personality at all. It's
right.
Almost like sometimes, let's say I squelch the player. At this point, I'm playing an AI. You know, I'm just playing the computer,
mm-hmm.
and then the computer beats me over and over again, like those old solitaire games in Windows 3.1 or whatever it was, and you just played solitaire and lost all day long until you finally won. And it's not necessarily a fulfilling feeling to lose that much and not have the camaraderie going along with it.
Right.
Whereas if we had a chat and I'm playing somebody I know, again, I could play that somebody on Mumble or TeamSpeak or
Well, let's say do a mute. Maybe if they did a mute, so you could actually chat if you feel like it, and then if you don't feel like it, mute.
But losing is more fun when you're actually looking at another human being's face and hearing them talk, I think, than when you're losing in this game. It's sort of like playing Warcraft, and you're a PvE player, and you decide you're going to spend a day going PvP. And you go in, and you spend half the game in the graveyard. I'm alive, let's go fight, oh, I'm dead. Oh, I'm alive, let's go fight, oh, I'm dead. And that's the way I feel sometimes with Hearthstone on a bad day. On a good day, it's a lot of fun, and I'm still enjoying the game. I don't want people to think I'm sour on the game. But sometimes you have bad days, and there is a big luck element. And yes, there's a skill element, and I admit my skill is not, rank one skill.
Well, again, but with the frustration level, that I sometimes get into a frustration level thing with it too, is I have just basically gotten to the point where I will play until I lose, unless I lose the very first game. But if I'm, if I play a couple games, and if I lose a game, then, I'll stop playing for a little while, just because it can get very frustrating if you keep losing over and over again, especially if I'm trying to do quests. Because sometimes, well, it's a lot easier now that we can abandon some of the quests, but back when we couldn't, I would play the class I did not like until I lost a game, and then I would do a class I would like and play that one for a while. That was one way I handled it. But I want to move on a little bit to something from the past, actually, that was we've mentioned before, the turn two, which is when you get the gold coin. If you're the second, you lose, quote-unquote, lose your coin toss. Ben Brode actually had, quite a while ago, mentioned why there's an advantage to going first as opposed to getting the coin going second, and why they were trying to balance it out. And it was a post that he had written. Did you want to discuss that a little?
Yeah, it's been way back from September, and I wasn't even playing in September, so that's probably why I missed that. Somebody must have posted to it recently, which resurrected the post and brought it forward. But Ben says, Ben Brode is one of the game designers who spoke at BlizzCon. He said, throughout the development of Hearthstone, going first has been a tremendous advantage. And he italicized tremendous. Winning the coin flip during our alpha testing meant you were 20% more likely to win the game. Losing the flip three games in a row was a table flipping experience. So, being player one has two advantages. One, you get to spend three mana before your opponent does, and then four mana and five mana. In other words, you're always going first. You always have that extra mana to spend. And two, you get more total mana than your opponent. So by the time the game ends, if you add up all of the mana you have had available to you versus your opponent, you will have more, sometimes much more. So if you beat somebody on your turn and you went first on turn seven, well, that's seven mana your opponent never even got to use. So for those reasons, it was a big advantage, and the numbers bore it out.
Right. They felt that they'd already given player two an extra card to help resolve the problem, but with the 20% of advantage of going first, they still felt that was high. Their goal was like 5-10% first turn advantage, which is what is in chess. They actually tried, which I never saw. It wasn't in, and I was in beta pretty quick, so I'm wondering if they did this in house. They tried to juice player two once by actually starting, granting five extra health for going second. I helped them get closer to the target, but they noticed that going second still felt like losing. So what they're seeing after they added the coin was, across all the leagues, it's now 4.4% better to go first. It's still better to go first. And that's in regular play. There's about a 52.2% chance to win if you go first. And the major league is about a 0.7% better chance to go first. So it was almost 50-50. It was 50.4% at the time player won first.
And that's in the Master League only.
Right.
So the best players.
You know, and then they noticed that there are classes that are slightly better going second in Master League 2. Guess the Priest and the Rogue wins 51.5% of the time when it's going second. But it's much better than where they used to be when winning the coin flip had basically a strong correlation to winning the game. Giving the coin out for the coin flip kind of helped out a lot.
And the reason people are arguing this is not just because they think that the coin is giving an opponent a great advantage. Players complain that the coin gives more than just a mana advantage. It gives a card advantage. I love getting the coin when I'm playing my rogue because it counts toward my combos. Even if it's just to cast, you know, to put out the mana for my spell, it means the difference between me getting an extra minion out or an extra 2 points of damage to my opponent just because it counts as a card. And I don't have all the examples written down in front of me, but there are several circumstances where the number of cards you play or the number of cards in your hand will benefit you, and the coin counts as a card. It still counts as a card. And Ben's response to that is those advantages only help to offset the fact that you're going second, because you're still at a statistically worse chance of winning by going second.
So
if you get
these
extra perks, then fine. You're going to need those perks to try to beat the person who went first.
Yeah, I still like going second. I don't know why. And then the animation changed recently, too. And I think they actually added some text to explain to people how the second card works. But they did change the animation with the last patch, too. They changed a lot of the animations. The gold cards look phenomenal now, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So the next segment I wanted to talk about were the apps. When I do my little app report, I'm going to give you one for the iPhone this week and two for the Galaxy. On the iPhone, there's Hearthbook. This is a deck builder. It's actually not a deck builder. Deck builder's coming soon. What Hearthbook does, it's actually really nice. I think he upgraded it from original. Originally, it looked more like an Excel spreadsheet. Now he's got the pictures in place. He's got the cards in place. He's got ability cards separated by minion cards. Then he has a whole section of weapon cards, hero cards, and hero power cards. So if you want to look at the specific cards, all you do is open up the app, click on the weapon cards section, click on the weapon you want to look at. It can tell you about every weapon card there is. Really nice little app. The deck builder is coming soon. Basically lets you look at all the cards that are out there, all the hero classes, and what their special power cards are. Well, he calls them power cards, but the special hero powers. So it's a nice little app for the iPhone. On the Galaxy, I still highly recommend the Hearthstone spellbook. That, as far as I'm concerned, it's got all the new news as well as all the information about the cards, a lot more data. It's a great, great app, but I'm not talking about that one. Hearthstone Deck Builder is a new app that's out there. It allows you to create a new deck. It allows you to load one of your decks to look at it and tweak it. And it also allows you to load your entire collection onto an app that you can take with you anywhere. So now that we don't quite have iPads and iPhones working yet for playing Hearthstone, you can take it with you that way. You can't play it, but you can mess with your decks. The other one for the Galaxy is called No Secrets. That is specifically tell you what the chances are. If a mage plays a three mana cost secret, it will show you the mage cards that are three mana cost so that you can kind of cheat and figure out what kind of secret might be being played. So it's that's pretty much the entirety of the app. It just, it's called No Secrets, and it lets you know what all the secret cards are out there and what the chances are, depending on what the classes you're playing against and how many mana he used to call the secret out, what you can expect to be sitting there. So it's kind of like, yeah, cheating a little bit. You still there, Autumn's Mane?
I'm listening to you.
What would you think of No Secrets?
Eh.
The more you play it, actually, the more you play against people, you kind of learn what kind of secrets are going to be coming at you anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I know what all the secrets are, and, you know, people used to say, oh, well, I can figure out what secrets they're playing by the mana costs, but the mana costs are all the same. After a while, you kind of get a feel for what secret they're probably drawing. You learn how to work around the secrets. It's like, okay, what's going to happen? For example, with a mage, you know, some of the secrets don't even matter until it's endgame. Okay, he's going to go immune, and I'm not going to be able to kill him this turn. I'll just assume he has that. If he has something else, oh well. Or he's going to ice block and get eight more health. Like, okay, so it'll take me a little longer to kill him. If I suspect that they're going to have a card that's going to kill me, then I'm going to attack with a very low health minion so that if it's going to die, then it's going to die. There are secrets that blow up all your minions, so I know when they have a secret out, I don't play another minion until I've attacked with the first one. And then when I do play one, I try to use a bait card in case it's one of those counter spell or instant kill, like, what is it, Vaporize kills the minion you call out. So you learn what the secrets are by losing to them over and over
right.
again. And then you learn, okay, if I do this, it's not going to work out well, so what could I do instead?
Yeah. Oddly enough, the hunters, all their secrets cost 2. Mages, all their secrets cost 3. Paladin secrets always cost 1. And then there's one neutral card that's not a secret, but the Secret Keeper. And she basically gets +1/+1 whenever their secret's played. So you do, you know, paladins will always be a 1 casting cost, mages will be a 3, and a hunter will be a 2.
Yeah, there's another card that I put into a deck this week just to experiment with. I think I got like +1/+1 for each secret in play, or +2/+2. It was at the end of the turn, if I had a secret in play, get +2/+2. Don't remember
the card.
That's
the Ethereal Arcanist. That is a mage card. If you control a secret at the end of your turn, you get +2/+2. It's a 4 yeah. casting cost card, and it's a 3/3 creature.
So it was worth playing with. I'm still not sure if I want to keep it in my deck, but again, I have to experiment some more.
So you played a mage deck.
Yeah, I like playing the mage because, you know... You know, when you're losing, you go play a mage, and then you win some.
Oh, no.
No, I'm working on my mage deck because I just created a Malagos, and I created Malagos just so I could, you know, play with a mage deck and win some games.
I think I definitely want to get myself a Malagos deck. Absolutely. I had a friend mentioned the deck, and I just can't build it yet because I don't have all the cards in it, and... As it's a Malagos deck, I kind of need him to play it. So we're about to wind up the hour and the last show of 2013. We had last week announced that we had been gifted with a beta key.
Yep, a friend of the show provided it.
Yeah, so we sent out tweets and Twitters and...
Facebook
and all that fun stuff saying, hey, get your names in if you don't have a beta key already and it's, you know, not the point where they're going to start giving out the new ones yet. Let us know. We'll get you a key. We did have some responses. So, Autumn's Bane, why don't you roll the dice?
Well, before I roll the dice, I want to talk about our friend Jonathan who sent us the key. And he actually won the key from someone else, and he had no intentions of using it. So
right.
he donated to the show. And, you know, somebody responded via tweet that, you know, why are you even bothering? Because anybody who wants a key can just get one. But as we announced at the last show, the cutoff for signing up and automatically getting a key was about a week or so ago. Anybody who signs up now is no longer guaranteed a key. It's not open beta yet. So the closed beta giveaways have slowed down. So if you're late to the game and you wanted to get a key and you went to Battle.net and signed up for one, you're no longer guaranteed an immediate key. You're going to have to wait like the rest of us used to. But Jonathan got this from Limpy, also known as MMO Den, and wanted me to shout out his website, mmoden.com, and twitch.tv/mmoden is, I guess, where he was when he got the key. So, courtesy of Jonathan and MMO Den, or Limpy, we now have this key to give away.
Hold on a second. We're actually going to have an extra name added. I'm going to jot that one down. Somebody in our chat room just wanted to also throw in another name, so I'm going to actually allow that, if it's okay with you, Ms. Bain.
Sure. So then I know how many people have entered. I'm not going to tell anybody, but I am going to roll a random number, and I'm using random.org through randomness. And it enables me to generate a random number. And Blacklace, who's in another room, has put down all of the contestants' names and put numbers next to them. So I don't know who is what number.
Oh, I can actually take a picture of this, too, so that once it gets... can prove that I wasn't being... showing favoritism.
I don't think we have to prove anything to anyone, but I'm okay. Pressing the generate number. And the result is 2. So, who won?
Number 2 is Reap.
Reap? Oh, our letter writer.
Yes.
Okay.
So we want to thank you for the letter, and we're going to send you, actually, a beta key.
So, congratulations, Reap. We have your email address, so we will email you that beta key. Congratulations.
Once again, thanks everybody for listening and for writing and all that stuff. Anuzme, did you have anything further before we wrap up?
No, I just hope everybody had happy holidays and we'll have a happy new year. Thank you for joining us in our first 10 turns. Oh, no more mana after this one. So we're tapped out on mana crystals, but we will see you all for turn 11 next year.
So if you want to reach us by Twitter, you can put us in as at a worthy opponent. Emails at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook at awohearthstone. And of course, you can find us on iTunes. So until next week, 2014, I am Blacklace with Audmund's Bane, and we want to wish you happy hearthing.
Happy hearthing.
Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.